FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and today is a live prophecy reality weekend. Yes, we are back live. The studio cam is on after taking a week off. And we're going to talk about probably current events and what they have to do with prophecy and other things that are going on out there. Plus, we'll be taking your phone calls. Yes, I did test the phone and we got that working again. So we got it handy here. And so if anyone wants to call in, which I hope they will, and add your 2 cents or 5 cents or $5 or whatever a dollar's worth to whatever 2 cents was worth when that phrase was coined way back when. Your 2 cents worth will be welcome, though. Okay, yeah, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net or .com and join the live broadcast. Like I said, the studio cam's on. There's a little YouTube window in the right-hand column there. You can watch it and plus look at the what's going on in the chat room at the same time. Let me check it real fast there and see if people are piling in yet. Not yet, but they're coming right now. They're running over there. I can hear the pitter-patter of their feet. Okay, so, well, what do we got? Well, today I want to talk about the Antichrist and his big plans that he's unleashing on the world. Of course, you know the New World Order, which is the UN, the United Nations, is the New World Order. And how do I know that? Well, because they had an Old World Order. And guess where it was situated? It was situated over there in the Old World. And the Americas are the New World. So the only way you can have a New World Order is to look for it to be situated in the New World. And it is, since the end of World War II, they've developed the image of the beast, which is what the United Nations is. If you're wondering what the image of the beast, it's not going to be a statue that walks and that people follow around and bow down to, because it's an image of the first beast, which was the old Roman Empire in the old world. Let's see. The Antichrist, now that his wound, as it were, to death, has been healed, he needs a new image from which to vicariously rule the world. None of that straightforward stuff like he did during his 1260-year reign, you know, where he was just burning books and Bibles and people, you know, more than pagan Rome ever even dreamed of, but you know, because they used to light the Christians on fire to help light the stadium at night. But boy, I tell you what, when the Antichrist came along, he put those pagan rulers and their persecutions of God's people to shame, as far as in their zeal to get it done, because they killed hundreds of millions. And you know, I don't think pagan Rome ever got to hundreds of millions. I don't know. Maybe they got to million or a couple million, but they didn't get to hundreds of millions. They had to leave that to the Antichrist, they did, but they don't rule the Antichrist and his shadow government. Everyone's heard of the shadow government. Come on. Now, all you got to do is read chapter 13 in the Bible, and you realize that the Antichrist rules the world, and even so much so that he controls the money, that everyone has to bow down and worship one of his part or one of his images, you know, either the image of the beast or the beast itself or the Antichrist personally, you know, or his church, or, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, which one of his marks you have. He doesn't care. Just so you have his mark, and that you pay obedience to him and his new world order. Well, they're working on it very hard. They have their plan for 2030. So this big push here in 2020 to move the plan forward, it's a hard job the Antichrist has. When you think about it, he's got to get everybody, the whole world, in line. But you know what? Here's the thing is, he doesn't ever get the whole world in line. I was looking at on Facebook, there's groups out there. And let me see, I have one over here. This group is called End Time... Excuse me. End Time Deceptions. And most of the people in this group are deceived. they don't have a clue. And one guy puts in here a meme. You know what a meme is? That's where you have a picture with words, right? Did I get that right? Have I got meme right? Anyway, and the meme says, America's not even mentioned in prophecy. It's kind of humbling, but factual. Now, how is that humbling? Unless you are America, but, you know, you're only America in your mind. But I don't see anything humbling about it. What? Do you think, like, the countries that are mentioned in Scripture, are they actually proud of it? And does that humble your pride because America is not mentioned in the Scripture? It's kind of a silly meme, really. America's not even mentioned in prophecy. It's kind of humbling, but factual. Well, it's not factual. Now, the word America, if he wrote America's not even mentioned by name in prophecy, then his meme might be true, but it's not true because he says America's not even mentioned in prophecy, which it is. America is the seventh beast of the Revelation. It is the seventh beast power that the Revelation covers. It is the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13. And I've got a whole article on that, and it could even put that in the chat room for the few people that haven't seen it yet. But if you haven't read this article, and I know a lot of people haven't because I have statistics that show that, you know, as much as I post this article, that nobody even bothers to read it. And you know what? I don't really blame them. Because who wants to read all that boring prophecy stuff? But, you know, it's not really that boring. I think I lay it out. I lay out the case pretty well in this article. And here, let me put it in the chat room for those people that made it over here. Good to see you, Fireman Mike. Corp Raid, Far Out, Sid, and Smoke are all in the chat room. And we'll put that in there. And most of you probably already read this article, the Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast, which is America, which is mentioned in prophecy. Because God did put down all of the players, and especially all of the so-called world superpowers. They're all there. And God did not leave anything out that had anything to do with his church and his plan for the world. Anyway, so getting back to 2030 and all how hard it is for the Antichrist and his shadow government to pull off their plan, because God has his own plan. I mean, Antichrist, I've been reading, going through the history of Protestantism by James A. Wiley, covering every chapter of that, and during the rest of the week here. And those Antichrists and his minions, man, they're hard-working people, man. They work so hard for their plan. But, you know, it doesn't matter what they do. God still wins, and his gospel is going to traverse the world, and it's going to give new life to those people that are chose according to his purpose. So, you know, but they keep working hard at it. So they pulled off this, I mean, they're just looking for the right crisis. And anytime the right crisis comes along where they think that they can move forward their agenda a little bit, boy, those Jesuits are right out there. I mean, the Jesuit governor of California still got us locked down here, you know. The churches especially the churches. And then, you know, the Antichrist Supreme Court of the United States came up with a 4-5 decision against California churches going back to church. Because, you know, a bunch of them brought suit against the governor, and it actually already went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court split a 5-4 decision, because they're all, you know, for the most part, I think they're all Catholics and what they call papal court Jews. Yeah, sorry to say that, but, you know, that's the way it is. Let's see. Paul asked me a question in the chat room. He says, what do you think if someone says they think God is calling them into the legal system to be a lawyer? Well, you know, if they think God is doing that, whether he is or not, I don't know, but if they think God is doing that, then they ought to do it. That's what I think. Because if you think God is doing something, and he's not, but you're genuinely believe that he is, well, God knows what you genuinely believe, and you're acting on faith. So you better do it, because he may or may not be calling you into the legal system. But I think if you have to do anything to get into that legal system that requires you to violate God's law, well, then you'll know that he hasn't called you. Okay? Paul says, joining the beast system, though. I know it's hard to take, Paul, but sometimes God calls people to do things that, but I don't know if you're really joining the beast system. I guess you are. I mean, you know, poor woe is me. I can't even get a driver's license because I won't participate in socialism, because I think socialism is against God's law. But a lot of people are ignorant to how they even violate God's law. So, you know, fortunately for all those people out there, it's not me that gets to decide who's doing what and for what reason. You know, God is the judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart of each individual. He didn't put me in that position. So I can't say whether someone is doing right or not by going into the legal system. I never tried to do it. I've got a good friend here who does a broadcast, Greg Anthony. You know, he went through it, but he's a barred attorney in the state of California, I believe, because that's where he lives, and he doesn't have his own practice, but he does work. I guess he does work for other lawyers because he can do that because he's a lawyer, but he's not out there practicing law. So I probably, that would be a better question put to him than to me. Yes, to be in the world and not of the world. I mean, you know, you look at Daniel. I mean, here's our grand example in the Word of God of Daniel. He was a slave, you know, in Babylon. He was taken captive as a teenager and put to service for the king of Babylon. You know, he was in that world, but he was not of it. But when the king of Babylon and the laws of Babylon required Daniel to break the law of God, well, him and his compadres, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, no way, we're not doing that. And those three boys got thrown into the fire, Daniel in the lion's den, because they would not violate God's law. So they, you know, they lived according to their conscience to the Heavenly Father and not to the world. Even though they were in the world, they were not of it. So, you know, there's our biblical standard. And so each person has to walk in their own life according to the standard, to the best of their ability, And God is the judge of the thoughts and intents of their heart. That's the way it is. See, I can do, other people can do things that I can't do because of the thoughts and intents of my heart. And what I deem to be a violation of God's law, they may not even see it having anything to do with God's law at all. Okay? So, you know, you walk your path. I mean, and there's some things we all have to agree on, you know. I mean, they're spelled out in the Ten Commandments. But, you know, a lot of other things don't seem so black and white, you know, as in the letter of the law. So, anyway, thanks for that question, Paul. I hope that helps, but it probably doesn't. You know, that means you just have to get on your knees and search the thoughts and intent of your heart and know that that's what God is going to judge in whatever you do. But it has to be, you know, your thoughts, the thoughts and intent of your heart according to God's word and what you truly believe that he wants from you. Because, you know, if someone says, well, God told me to commit adultery, well, I'm not going for that one. Yeah. And dude says, let every man be fully persuaded. And of course, he was talking about keeping days and such and in the context there. But that's true, you know. I mean, if you think you have to keep the Saturday Sabbath and you're fully persuaded that, you better do it. That's all I can say is you better do it. You may be wrong, you know. But if you're fully persuaded, then you have to walk according to that. And you may be condemned by your own conscience. And not by the word of God. So you want to be real careful there. You want to search God's word out and make sure that you're not walking according to your own thoughts and intents rather than what the word of God actually says. Excuse me. Okay. So now, I guess that's our deep theological discussion for the first period there, our first segment. Well, let's look at some news. Like I said, we're talking about American prophecy and the Antichrist moving his thing forward, trying to get it all done. And I think if they're actually going to set this date, one of the things we need to look for, because something that the Antichrist needs to get done is he needs to get the seven-year tribulation deception done and over with. So I look forward to them, if this is the plan, and they're going to push to get all this stuff done by 2030, that I look at for them pushing forward the plan to build the temple on the Temple Mount so that they can get the 7 years completed before they roll out their enforced Mark of the Beast system. Because, you know, they have to discredit God's word, and that's part of it. That's why they built this whole plan with the seven-year tribulation deception and the multiple-choice raptures. There's no multiple-choice prophecy in God's word. That's why you can't find the raptures anywhere in the Bible, because they're not there, because God doesn't do multiple choice. He already knows exactly what is going to happen. God isn't going, golly, maybe I haven't decided which rapture I like best, so we'll see how this thing plays. No, God's already seen the end. He created the whole creation from beginning to end already. He holds it in his hand. I mean, this is why Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. There's nothing hidden. There's no multiple choice raptures out there. There's no multiple choice prophecy at all. It will be what it will be. God has already declared it. It's we who don't understand. and it's a difficult thing to understand. I mean, I've been intently studying prophecy, looking for that Holy Ghost interpretation for 15 years. And it's not easy. And I think I've lost most people that have been trying to follow along, because when I look at how hard and how deeply and how much reading and studying and prayer that I had to do just to come to the understanding that I have, which is not even totally complete yet. Other people have jobs and, you know, lives to live. They don't have time for this stuff. Okay, Paul says, what about the verse that says, we'll be caught up into the heavens and one will be taken and another left. Isn't that the rapture? No, that's the resurrection. See, the Bible does say resurrection, but it does not say rapture anywhere. You know, and I know I've heard all of the arguments and, you know, which rapture is it? Okay? No, the resurrection. That is our hope. My hope is in the resurrection. When Christ returns, those that are alive and remain. Okay, but for most people throughout history, you know, we've got all going all the way back to Adam and Eve. They had no, there was no sense in a rapture for them, a rapture event or the resurrection live event. They weren't going to be still living in their mortal flesh when Jesus returned. So that's most of the people throughout history. That's not the focus. The focus for all those people and us is the resurrection. Now, I've got a post for you there, Paul, on my website. It's called What Year Is It? Okay? And this is the premise of this, of course, is 2 Peter 3 and of course, Revelation chapter 20, speaking of the millennium. And the premise is that the seventh millennium will be the millennial reign of Christ. And we have a timeline there that we find in the scripture, a chronology given that shows us that the actual seventh millennium, as in 6,000 years, will be complete about 2055. And every scriptural reference is there for you. Everything I use to come to that conclusion is there in that posting. What year is it? Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you'll see it on the top right corner, a link to it. And check it out for yourself. So here's the thing is, my point is, in 2055, that's a mere 35 years away. And I hope that you're a young man, Paul. I don't know how old you are, but I'm not a young man, okay? Because in 35 years, I'm going to be over 100 years old, okay? I might live that long, and I might not. So I might experience that catching up. I'm not going to use the word when the resurrection event happens and Jesus returns. I might experience that catching away. And I hope I live that long. I'm trying really hard. I might make it because I'm pretty convinced it's going to be about the year 2055. I don't like that. I wish it was sooner, or I wish it was, as the rapturists say, imminent. Jesus' return is imminent. But no, it's not imminent. He's going to return when he's going to return. Okay, there are certain things that need to be fulfilled still in the scripture, in prophetic scripture, before Jesus returns. So until those things happen, his return isn't imminent. The 6,000 years have to be complete before the seventh millennium can begin. Now, I might be wrong in my what year is it. So if you think I'm wrong, or if you get in there, look at all the scripture verses, look at all the empirical evidence that I bring out in that posting, and then search it out for yourself. And if you think I got it wrong, well, help me, you know, because you can read all the comments there and you can see how many people have helped me refine that posting until I got it where I am now, where it is now. Okay, it's good to see Carrie Ann, Sid, Corporate, and Dude in the chat room. And come on over if you're not in there yet. Plus, we have the phone is actually working. I tested it before. I think it was the battery. I think the battery went dead every time I turned the phone on. So I think that was a simple problem and a simple solution. Okay, now we're getting close to the end here of this segment. I don't know what I'm going to do in the second hour because I'm done. I've done 12 parts, which are the most parts of my book that nobody's heard before, or they have heard before. But I've been working and spending more time on it, so I'm getting toward the completion of it. So I thank you all for your prayers and your thoughts for me during the week and off air. Okay, we're going to go into a break now. You're listening to Cross Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a live Prophecy Reality Edition. We're in the chat room and at FirstAmendmentRadio.net, and the studio cam is on. Okay. Paul had a question. He said, what about the verse that says we'll be caught up into the heavens and one will be taken and another left? Isn't that the rapture? Well, the raptures, there are three of them. So, and like I said, it's a multiple choice, and God doesn't do multiple choice prophecy. So that's your first clue that there's something wrong with that interpretation. But it is referring a reference to the resurrection of the dead and for those that are alive when Christ returns, because actually people will be living when Christ comes back. So though, for those people that are living then and that belong to him, well, they will be caught up to meet the dead in Christ who are raised from the dead. And then they're changed and caught up. And the actual reference says that they're caught up together in the same event. So that's what we're looking forward to. And I say about the year 2055, give or take a year, you know, give or plus or minus a year. I don't really know the exact year because I'm not sure how our calendars mesh with the creation calendar, with the creation account, and where the years overlap or whatever. So I always say give or take a year. And being born in 1953 myself, I'm going to be, 102 in 2055. I mean, if I were just making up an interpretation of the Bible, you know, at my own whim and what I wanted it to be, well, imminent would sound much better, or I'd make a much nearer date. There are people out there, they're saying 2022 or 2030 or whatever, you know. And I would prefer those dates. I would prefer if after all of my study and, you know, and prayer and going through all of the things that I go through in that study that I did there, what year is it? I could have found an earlier year, you know, then I would have a better chance of living to it. The odds are against me, okay, as far as statistically speaking. You know, most people don't live to be over 100. So statistically speaking, the odds are against me. So I didn't do this for my own comfort or to be popular, okay? That's what I found. And I have to go with what I found in the scripture, what I found to be true, because that's what I'm after is the truth. So if you want the truth, you're at the right place. If you want a true, the best, you know, what I found, Holy Spirit, Bible interpretation of Bible prophecy, well, that's what I'm here for. And I got another book for you, that I wrote for you, Paul, and other people that believe in the raptures, okay? And that book is called When the Third Temple is Built, and I'm going to give it to you for free right now in the chat room, okay? So everyone can have it right now for free, because actually, and it's called When the Third Temple is Built. So there's a PDF there for you. So it's about 100 pages, easy to read, but I think it'll give you the gist of what I see from my study of Scripture. And you can check it out for yourself. All the biblical references are there. And read the whole little book there. And plus, what year is it, is in the appendix of the book. So, yes, people say everything, dude. 2033, say some. I hope they're right and I'm wrong. But, you know, I've studied very hard and still haven't been able to bring the year closer. You know, it doesn't matter how hard I study, I can't make, you know, the evidence and the scripture say anything different than what it says. And that's the way it has to be. That's the way it should be. Okay. So anyway, okay. So 2030, and I believe the Antichrist is going to push, and he's going to want to get this rapture play over with, so he can totally discredit the Bible and say, we see the Bible was wrong, but when actually what is wrong is false prophecy. Isaac Newton said 2060 back in the 1700s. That's true, Paul. So he was close. You know, I think Isaac Newton was looking at the Bible the same way I was, okay? He was looking at empirical evidence as well as scriptural evidence. And plus, it didn't matter for Isaac Newton. He's saying Jesus is coming back in 2060. He had no chance of living that long when he said it. So yeah, I have a chance. But he had no chance at all. But see, I think the Holy Ghost interpretation has been there all along. And so, still, even going through history, the history of apocalyptic interpretation. You still have to sort it out. Those which are really looking for that Holy Ghost interpretation that endures all generations from the scripture, and those that, you know, are following their own fancy, you know, what they want, whatever, what they want to see, you know, and you search long enough and you read enough. And if you're a lover of truth and you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you begin to see the difference quite readily. At least speaking for myself, okay? Yes, but nobody ever mentions how much he wrote on the book of Revelation. I think I've read everything he's written on the Revelation, although I didn't, you know, I haven't memorized any of it or made any of it a major study, but because he had some interesting things to say. And in my study of the history of apocalyptic interpretation, he definitely plays a part in that, and a good part in it. But he had a lot of other ideas, and he had a lot of other things that he focused on in his life too. So I don't know if he spent 15 years just intently studying prophecy like I have. It's been a main focus of mine for the last 15 years. And I'm hoping I can change my focus a little bit now to other things. But, you know, it's up to the Lord, wherever he leads me. Okay. Oh, well, I'm going to stick around and go be live for the whole 2 hours since I don't have anything planned for the second hour. So maybe we'll look at some news. We'll take phone calls. Like I said, the phone is working. The number's in there in the upper right-hand corner of the chat room. And I'm getting wows in the chat room. Okay, I don't know what the wows are for, but like if you want to call in and tell me what you're wowing about, maybe you could share it with us all. I don't know whether it's something I'm saying or something that someone wrote in the chat room. I like to be wowed occasionally too. Don't we all like that once in a while? Okay, anyway, let's check out some news items here. I got some stuff starred here. Oh yeah, the Black Lives Matter thing. You know, it's all, you know, what the Antichrist wants, the Antichrist gets. Like I told you, we have a Jesuit-trained governor here in California, so I'm not surprised that, you know, he's more totalitarian than all the rest. Because when you think about what kind of government is it going to take to enforce something like the Mark of the Beast, well, there are a lot of prerequisites there. One, you have to control the monetary system of the world. And let's see, does the Antichrist control the monetary system of the world? Well, whether I have evidence or not, the Bible says it's so. So there's the best evidence of all. The Bible says he will be able to control the monetary system, at least to the degree that no one can buy or sell without having some kind of allegiance or mark or number of his name somehow to him and his government. Okay? So we see that. Okay? Well, it has to be totalitarian, because if you don't go along, you will be killed. So that's totalitarian government. Another thing, you look around at the world, why is the government giving all this money away? Why does the government, why do socialists want you dependent upon the government? Well, because then they own you. They control you. When you're a dependent, you're a slave. Even the Bible tells us that principle. The heir, when he's a child, is no better than a slave. I believe that's paraphrased pretty well there. The heir, when a child, is you know, accounted no better than a slave, because that's what he is. And Paul says, but when it became a man, I gave up childish things. So you give up socialism. You give up dependence on government and your parents, and you go out there and you take care of your own. You know, if a man doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. You know, we have those principles in the scripture that say, no, we should have no part of socialism. We should have no part of slavery. And Paul even said, some of you are slaves. He said, obey your masters as unto the Lord. You know, of course, do it with the examples that we have from scriptures. And of course, we talked about those examples here earlier. We're talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all slaves. Okay, they obeyed their masters as unto the Lord until their master said, violate the law of God, who is their higher master. And they said, no, that's where they drew the line. And they paid the price for it. So should we. You know? So, you know, it's like, you know, the governments of men, the beast government out there, and the image of the beast, and all of them say, hey, abortion is great, and you can marry your men can marry their men friends, and women can marry their women friends. But see, there's a higher law. Now, they're not forcing you to do that. Okay, you don't have to do that. Okay, but now when they start to force you to violate God's law, then you have to stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, and all of the other examples we have throughout the scripture, and you have to say no, no matter what the cost. I mean, those boys could have been burned in that furnace. Hundreds of millions laid down their lives at the hand of the Antichrist, because he had power over them for 1260 years. So they laid down their lives for the gospel, for the truth, for their conscience toward God Almighty. They laid down their lives. They bent their head, their neck to the axe. They walked up to the pile and allowed themselves to be burned. They didn't want to, but they did it. Nobody wants to do that. But they realized that what they had to lose by abdicating, by giving up the truth and going along with the Antichrist and his minions, was something greater than they were going to lose by laying down their life. They believed that. That was faith. That is faith demonstrated. So it could be coming to us. Now, from my study of the scripture and prophecy, we're speaking of America in prophecy as the two-horned earth beast, and I put that link there in the chat room, so you can look at that after the broadcast. Of course, open it in another tab. If you click on it, it'll open another tab, and save it later. Don't let it go roll by in the chat room so you lose it. But click on it now and then read it later. And also the book there, When the Third Temple is Built. Then you'll get a good idea about this rapture play that the Antichrist has set up, this false prophecy that he's going to use to discredit the Bible based upon not true prophecy, not what the Bible truly says, but the false prophecy that he's planted in the church to vindicate his great apostasy and his seat being the seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin, as foretold by Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the whole reason, because he needs that end-time Antichrist. Because if he gets you to believe in an end-time Antichrist that only shows up for a few years just before Christ returns, okay? If he gets you to believe that, then that vindicates him and the accusation that was laid on him 1,000 years ago of being the Antichrist, the man of sin, and his Roman Catholic Church being that great apostasy. That's what it's all about. Came out of the Council of Trent, the Counter-Reformation, to his war against his war on history and Protestantism. His war against the protest that identified his Catholic or universal church as the great apostasy and the papacy as the seat of the man of sin, the Antichrist. That's what it's all about. So read that little book there and share it with as many people. Save the link, email it to everybody in your email list. Post it everywhere you can on Facebook and Twitter and all those other, whatever all those social things are out there. And let everyone read my book for free. I'm not making any money off it anyway. I'm certainly not going to get the tithe or the money for the time I spent on it. I've given more copies away than I've sold, that's for sure. So, but hey, you know, I'm God's servant, you know. I have bread and food and, you know, a nice place to live. You know, it's I'm not rich by any means, but God has taken care of me. And not only that, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm not worried about money. Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that all these things that you need for your life will be added to you. And God has kept his word. He's taken care of me and my family. And I just keep serving him and putting his kingdom first every day, as you should. Yeah, that's what we should all be doing, what Jesus said. Do that. That's right. Seek first the kingdom. That means to make God's kingdom and his righteousness the primary focus. That's what it means to seek first, or to put first, to make it the primary focus of your life every single day. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To make his kingdom and his righteousness the primary focus of your life every day. And I know that's hard for us fallen sons and daughters of Adam, but God gives us power through his Spirit, because his Son shed his blood for us. Hallelujah. And praise God for that. I would be hopeless, you know. I'm so grateful for what Jesus did for me. Because without him, I'd have no hope at all. Because I see, man, you know, I see more what I am every day. You know, what I would be without him. Totally degenerate. Without the regenerating power of his Holy Spirit by his blood. Yeah, we can all praise God together for that one. And I should have some amens in the chat room right now over that. Okay, so we got the whole plight of black Americans, the true plight of black Americans. And this whole thing is just another opportunity by the shadow government to forward the Antichrist totalitarian agenda a little bit more and to destroy America. I mean, the Antichrist hates America. Because America is so rebellious toward the Antichrist rule and dominion of the world. I mean, all that liberty that we have, freedom of speech, and, you know, I mean, we are in the eyes of the rulers of this world, you know, the rulers of evil. We are the most rebellious of all. And thankfully, you know, the two horned earth beast, speaking of, I put that article in there for you too. Those two horns on that earth beast, that beast, America, appears with those two horns, because a horn on a beast is a division of power. And as we notice in the divine revelation of this beast, that it rises with two horns, and those two horns are consistent throughout the life of the beast. Because the beast exists until Christ returns and all of the kingdoms of the earth are abolished together. But those two horns are described as one, and this is my belief. A lot of people believe differently, but you know, I'm going to go with mine, since I've done the study I've done for 15 years, and I've come to the conclusion I've come to, is that the one horn represents the lamb-like qualities that are America. And the other one is the dragon-speaking qualities that infected America at its inception. Okay? And those two horns are equal in power. And, I mean, look at the struggle today. If you can't see the division of power clearly, and you see it's neck and neck, man. I mean, right now it's neck and neck. It's just more visible than ever before, okay? But it's always been neck and neck. The Antichrist has been working very hard to maintain and keep his dragon speaking power, his dragon speech in America, that dragon speech that he infected. Read Rulers of Evil. You know, if you have, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. There's a tab there that says Bible studies, and there's a list of references there. And then those references is Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Sofsky. There's a link to a PDF of that. Man, you read that, and you'll have a better understanding of how the God of this world infected America at its inception. It'll change your view, but you know, when you start to see these things and the history of them, you begin to understand things a lot better. You know, that's why I'm spending the time the rest of the week. You know, I've already gone through the Bible several times during my regular broadcast, so I decided to go now through the history of Protestantism. But boy, when you go through all this history, I tell you what, you just begin to see the present so much clearer. It is no wonder that the Antichrist and his school teachers out there, yes, because they control most of education. I mean, if you control the money, you control everything else, because you can buy everyone and everything else, and you can push your agenda forward by the money. And but see, God doesn't need money. He doesn't need the power of this world, because he has his power to accomplish his will, and his will and his purpose will be accomplished despite the power of the Antichrist and all the power of the world and you know, the control of the money and all those things that he possesses and all the riches he has. He still can't compete with God Almighty. And I see that through history too. You know, that's why, you know, as God's people, we want to know history. We want to see that revelation fulfilled in history. It's very eye-opening, and it really clears a lot of things up. So I hope everyone's enjoying that series as I'm going through it there. I haven't posted it all yet, but I will be soon. I'm also going to post it on Audible when I get done as an audio book. So I've already got volume one done. I'm in the middle of volume two right now, or maybe a third or a quarter way through volume two of James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism. So I hope everybody's enjoying that. But it's not very popular. So if I wanted to do more popular things, I should be pushing the rapture and all the popular prophecy out there. But God hasn't called me to be popular or to go viral on YouTube or anything else. I'm just his humble servant. And if a few hundred people watch my videos, well, fine with me. You know, it's God's work. It's not mine. It's all up to him. Yeah. And certainly, if I got a million views on something, certainly that might feed my flesh a little better. I might feel better about the things I'm doing. But, you know, hey, there's how many Christians, how many true believers out there in the world? They all need a piece of this action, too. So if we're all getting equal pieces of the action and working in God's kingdom, we'll all get a relatively small part in it. But the true hero... our true hero is Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So to him be all the glory. Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be back after some news. You're listening to Prophecy Reality.
Pleasing you, where can I hide?
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. Voters in five states cast primary ballots yesterday, with a Democratic Senate primary in Georgia too early to call and results not in from Nevada. Carmen Roberts has results from some of the other races.
Former Vice President Joe Biden won the Democratic presidential primaries in West Virginia and Georgia, both elections delayed over concerns about spreading the coronavirus. Voters in Georgia endured long lines and equipment failures as they showed up to vote in person, despite being urged to vote by mail. Two incumbent Republican governors won their primaries. Governor Jim Justice in West Virginia will face off against Democrat Ben Salango in November, and Governor Doug Burgum in North Dakota, who's favored to defeat Democratic newcomer Shelley Lenz. Republican incumbent Senators Lindsey Graham in South Carolina and Shelley Moore Capito in West Virginia won their primaries. Capito will face Democrat Paula Jean Swearingen this fall. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
The U.S. attempts to retain a big role in negotiations as Iran moves closer to building nuclear weapons.
Iran is months away from having the material needed for a nuclear weapon. The UN's nuclear watchdog says the country continues to enrich and stockpile uranium at limits in violation of the 2015 nuclear agreement. The EU's top diplomat made clear today that the U.S., after pulling out of the deal in 2018, no longer has a seat at the negotiating table. The U.S. disagrees, arguing Mr. Borrell ignores the plain language of the UN Security Council resolution that allows the United States to snap back sanctions.
Despite both former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's attorneys and the Justice Department requesting the charges against Flynn be dropped, U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan holds oral arguments this week on why the charges should be dropped. Attorney General Bill Barr blasted Judge Sullivan's actions.
The argument is that it's always been understood that decisions whether to pursue an individual through the prosecution process or holding them criminally accountable is vested in the executive branch and not the courts. And he is essentially, in our view, trying to set himself up as an alternative prosecutor.
Rioters continue attacking police, Mike Tobin reports.
A New York City police officer is charged with assault after knocking down a protester in Brooklyn as conflicts with police, protesters, and the public continue. Violence continues in America's cities. Seven people shot in Brooklyn Monday night in the space of 10 minutes. Over the weekend, five people killed, 31 wounded in Chicago. Police shot a man in Springfield, Missouri today after he crushed an officer against a barricade with his SUV. And in California, an Air Force sergeant will be arraigned Friday after killing Santa Cruz County Sheriff Sergeant Damon Gutzweiler.
For the last 4 years plus, the swamp has been taking shots at President Trump. One of his advisors thinks he knows why. Steve Jordahl reports.
The mainstream media has unleashed a constant barrage of Trump hatred since he came down the escalator at Trump Tower and declared himself a candidate.
He is the worst leader the world has seen since Idi Amin stopped eating the voters.
This president was impeached. The president who lacks the maturity and lacks the fitness for the office he holds.
HBO's Bill Maher and Nicole Wallace of MSNBC there. But presidential advisor Dr. Robert Jeffers told the Today's Issues crew it's not just the mainstream media and the political left.
Some people don't like his personality. I think the Republicans especially hated that he came in and upset their party, so to speak, and just, you know, took it away from the establishment and humiliated them in the process.
He says the hatred also has some spiritual roots.
I think at the root of it, especially for unbelievers, it is his strong stand for things like the pro-life movement and pro-religious liberty and his stand for Israel. He has said to me many times, Robert, if I hadn't taken such a pro-life stance, the left would not hate me as much.
And Jeffers says they're not about to stop anytime soon.
They're panicked as they see him now confirming more than 200 federal judges on appellate courts that will be there for the next 30 or 40 years. They are desperate to get him out of office, especially as they look at the prospect of one or two more Supreme Court picks in the next term.
I'm Steve Jordahl. For American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're just discussing prophecy, current events, comments, questions, even a phone call if someone actually tries to call in this week. I believe it will work. I actually did a test, and it seemed to work fine, so we got the problem fixed. Okay, I got a question in the chat room, and Paul says, did anyone else in history suspect the two-horned beast to be America? And that's a good question. Well, you could only go back in history as far as there was America. And so, who is the earliest person? You know, I really don't have an answer for that question. Because it seems to, E.B. Elliott, he tried to equate the earth beast with, I believe, the clergy or something like that. And there were a few other ideas like that, that the earth beast was a division of the Roman church or something, but none of those ever panned out. And the earth beast is not the false prophet either, but all of these ideas have been bandied about. And E.B. Elliott just did not see it. And I don't, you know, who would have seen it? I mean, E.B. Elliott lived in the middle of the 19th century, 1800s, that is. And there's no way that he would suspect. His focus, most of his book, is right on, is on spot, going back in history up through the French Revolution. But he didn't get America in there anywhere. Of course, he didn't see what was going to happen either. Not only that, he was not in America. As far as, I don't know, I guess I could do some kind of search and find out, I don't know, who first discovered that America or came up with the idea that America might be the two-horned earth beast. I don't know anyone who's done a work like the one I posted there, The Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. I've never seen anything like that anywhere. I've seen other people that have mentioned America and had a few ideas that America was the earth beast, but I've never seen an expose like the one that I posted there, and I've written on the horeapocalyptica.wordpress site there. I haven't found anything like that anywhere else. So, you know, I'm guessing this is pretty much new revelation of God's word. You know, as long as you're if you have new revelation and it complies with the word of God, I think then you have something. And I think that, you know, God did not reveal it until he was ready to reveal it, you know, to the world and to his church and those people who were searching for that answer. But E.B. Elliott didn't see it. Yeah. Neither did H. Grattan Guinness. He didn't see it either. Yeah. So I know around the turn of the century there, the beginning of the 20th century, there was no report of it then. So it was during the 20th century, I would see probably toward the end of the 20th century, the last century, that is, that it was revealed by God. Yeah. So that's what I would say. And I've developed that from God's word. I mean, if I would have looked into God's word to search that out and found that it wasn't true, then I would have wrote that it's not true, that it's something else. But the more I research it and the deeper I look into the scripture, well, the more concrete becomes that proposition for me. And like I said, you can read that there. I'll put it in the chat room there. A few people have shown up in the chat room. And this is free for you, When the Third Temple is Built, for all those people that are confused about the multiple choice raptures and why we have them. You want to read that book. And then this is the other one about the, I'll put that in there now, this other link. As soon as I get back here, okay, here we go. And this is the rise of the two-horned earth beast. And share these links with as many people as possible. Because I think this expose, the rise of the two-horned earth beast, I think it proves incontrovertibly the situation that we are in now with these two beasts of Revelation chapter 13 and these characters in the image of the beast and where it sits right now, that we're on the verge. We're getting near the end. We have like about 35 years left. And also, if you look at my post, what year is it? Go to my website there. And when you're over there at my website, there's a follow button that shows up. And make sure you click on that. And that way, when I do a live broadcast, you'll get an email an hour or so before the broadcast on Wednesday mornings. Or a notification. I guess you can get notifications even on your phone now. I don't do all that. I put Twitter in my app on my phone once, and I had to get rid of that right away because it's constantly. I got too much to do to be constantly looking at my phone. You know, I watch my grandchildren and the teenagers especially. I mean, it's almost like 24/7 that phone is in their face. I wouldn't let my daughter have internet on her phone. She just had text and talk until she was 18, and then I finally let her hook it up to the wireless there because I figured, well, she's 18, she has to, you know, be responsible somewhat for herself. But my grandchildren, their parents, given them phones and internet connection already. And, well, I got two of them that are over 18 now already, grandchildren, that is. But, yeah, that's nothing I can do about that. Okay, so anyway, those two articles, I think, the PDF, When the Third Temple is Built, that'll give you some information about why we have a multiple choice prophecy brought to you by, this has been a shadow government production brought to you by the Counter-Reformation of the Antichrist. Yeah, Counter-Reformation production by the Antichrist. So given all that information, I think America's probably the safest place to be, because one horn never rises up over the other, as some of the other beast powers, where we see certain horns become dominant, like the little horn of the ten horned beast, or Daniel's little horn that subdues three, and of course it ruled the whole old world order for 1260 years. But this new world order, that is what is outlined in chapter 13 of the Revelation. Chapter 13 of the Revelation outlines for us and exposes the new world order, because the two-horned earth beast rises up in the new world and it establishes the image of the first beast, and it also is situated in the new world. Therefore, we have the term appropriately applied, New World Order. Okay? There it is. So read it and weep. The article's there. Okay, see, I have a Jesuit fiend, I guess. I'm just guessing on the latter part, since it went over 10 spaces. He says, truly, Nicholas, 35 years? These are both questions. I would suspect 9.5 to 10 years. That's getting a little... with Agenda 2030, God's timetable permitting, of course. Well, that's my point, Jesuit fiend, the chat room. I'm guessing that's fiend. It's just as F-E-I-N, or F-I-E-N. It might be Feinstein. Maybe Feinstein's in the chat room. Jesuit Feinstein? Is that you? No, but yeah, your point is well taken, and I agree with you. I think the Antichrist has to pull off his agenda 2030, because he has what he wants to do by 2030 is he wants his mark of the beast. But see, if Christ doesn't come for 25 years later, he gets this great delusion. One, he's going to discredit the Bible by pulling off the seven-year tribulation deception and the multiple-choice raptures as none of them happening. Okay? None of them will happen. Read my book there, When the Third Temple is Built. It'll explain it to you. You know, there's a link to two spaces above there in the chat room. And if you didn't get that, go to my website, crosstheborder.org, for anyone else listening any other time, and click on the free ebook tab and follow the instructions there, and then request When the Third Temple is Built. It'll explain it all to you. So, and, you know, I wish it was, you know, going to be in 2030, because I'm pretty sure I can live another 10 years easily because I have pretty good health. Yeah, I do. But now 35 years, you know, I'd have to be 102 to make it to 2055. So I'm not sure about that, okay? I'm not sure I can do that. I'm going to try very hard because I would like to be. You know, I prayed about it. I said, God, you know, it's like, you know, like the priest in the temple who said he wanted to see he wanted to see the Christ. And so when Jesus was born, he saw it. God kept that promise to him. Well, I want to see the return of Christ. I want to be one of those that are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I want to be one of those. Jesuit Fiend says, I fear it sooner. Well, I wouldn't fear it sooner. I would joyfully think it was sooner. that's not what I fear. That's my hope. That's what I hope for, is the resurrection and the return of Christ. So no fear involved. Not for me anyway. I mean, I may have to suffer death and persecution, and you know, they might chop off my head with a guillotine. Yeah, that might happen, but hey. You know, just be following the example of 100 million plus other martyrs out there that have done that before me. What about all the lost? Your fellow man taking the mark willingly. Well, there's nothing I can do about that, you know. But one thing I can assure you of is that all of the elect will be saved. As that's what the scripture says. So all Israel will be saved. Because that supranational Israel, they are the elect, and they will all be saved. That's what the scripture says. I'm not to worry about that. I can't cry over the loss, but what I can do is I can continue to do what I'm doing, you know, is to help to spread the gospel so I can reach as many people as possible. You know, and God has an army. It's everyone who belongs to him. We are his army. You know, if I can reach 100 this week with this broadcast, or 200, I'm doing good. If you can reach 3 or 4, you're doing good. You know, because you know, or get your own YouTube channel. Maybe you can reach a couple hundred. Maybe you could reach 1,000 or 1,000,000. I don't know. You know, it's whatever God calls you to do. I'm just doing what he's called me to do. So, marching to the Jesuit-controlled Roman media and saying yes, it's still sorrowful. And I agree, man. It breaks my heart, man. You know, I've had friends who did not accept Christ and they went to the grave, and I loved some of those people. You know, that breaks my heart. There's nothing I can do about that. But I can't lay down my life on the altar of Satan because others have, or because others could not receive the gospel. I can't reject it because it's just not in me to do that. And I hope it's not in you to do that. And whoever else is listening to this broadcast, you know, if you're unsure of your position in Christ, well, then I would pray. I'd say, please, Heavenly Father, call me. I want to be one of your elect. Give me that assurance that I am. You know, and I won't let go. You know, it's like Jacob when he was wrestling, and he says, I won't let go until you bless me. And that's what I said. I won't let go until you bless me. I have to be one of your elect. Otherwise, I'm without hope in the world like others. You know, I have to have it, man. I got to be one of yours. You know, wash me in your blood. Let me be one of your elect. You know, and if someone doesn't have the wherewithal to do that, well, you know, it's like Jesus said, unless you give me first place, unless you love me more than your family and your children and or anything else in this life, you're not worthy of me. And that's what it takes. You know, when Paul said, keep your eye on the prize, that's what he was talking about. My eye, the prize is out there beyond the grave. It's nowhere in this life. Yeah, it's not in fame, fortune, money, or popularity, or YouTube, or Facebook likes, or YouTube views, you know? It's not on this side of the grave. It's beyond the grave. It's in the resurrection. None of the raptures, but in the resurrection of the dead. That is our hope. And brought to you by the blood of Christ. This has been a production of the Holy Spirit, brought to you by the blood of Christ, the resurrection of the dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's our hope. That's it. That's everything. That's the prize. That's the gospel prize. There is nothing else worth living for. If you don't get that, you got nothing, because when you go to the grave, you lose everything. Well, sounds like you're on the road. It's a hard road, Jesuit fiend out there in the chat room. It's hard. It's not easy. I mean, you know, I mean, Satan, every chance he gets, he's going to throw our sinfulness, the sinfulness of our Adamic flesh, which we cannot shed until it goes to the grave, he's going to throw it in our face and use it to make us doubt. But man, you just got to keep fighting that battle. Say, no matter what, I won't let go until you bless me. I'm not letting go of God's word. I'm going to keep reading it and studying it and know everything I can about it. And I'm going to use every bit of it to hang on to that gospel prize. I don't care what I have to face, what I have to go through, what despair, what guilt I have to deal with. Nothing. It doesn't matter. I don't care how many times I have to repent until I learn obedience. I don't care how hard the road is, I'm going to keep on walking on the narrow way that leads to life. Because there is nothing else. Remember Jesus was telling people, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And everybody started walking away, going, man, this is a hard saying. Oh, man, Jesus, you should not have said that. Eat your flesh and drink your blood. Oh. And everybody started walking away. Jesus looks at Peter. He says, are you going to leave too? Peter said, where would I go? You have the words of life. There's nowhere else to go. Nothing else. There is nothing. Nothing. You know? You gain the whole world and lose your own soul. You got nothing. You've gained nothing. Because you leave it all at the grave, and we're all surely going to the grave. We all have that curse. I mean, there's the first evidence that God's word is true. You shall surely die. That was the wages of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, that curse was laid on them. And they surely did die. And all of us, the sons of Adam, we shall surely die. The first evidence that God's word is true. It explains why we shall surely die, why we don't live forever. though we can conceive of forever. And that's evidence that we should reach for it, because we can conceive of it. I mean, God wouldn't be so cruel to not to give us the concept of living forever and not being able to obtain it. I mean, I have animals and critters. They have no concept of forever or even death. They don't need it because it's not available to them. And I know there's the pet lovers out there who says, you mean my pets won't be in the resurrection? Well, yeah, I think some of my pets will be there because I'm there, because it's important to me. I think I'm going to see my great horse, Amigo. You know, I had a black and white paint Mustang. Yeah, I want to ride him in the resurrection. He got old and died, you know. But there's no one died, you know, to raise up horses. But Jesus died for us, and I think that if I want him there, I'm going to have forever. I mean, of course, 1,000 years, you know, I'm going to rule and reign with Christ in the millennium. That'll be great. I don't know if I get my horse then or not. I'm kind of thinking we won't need automobiles or horses. I've seen the way Jesus traveled, and how about Philip when he was caught up to the Ethiopian eunuch? You know, he didn't need a horse or a carriage or anything. He was just there, you know, and like when Jesus appeared in the room with the disciples, you know, he didn't have to walk through. I don't know how he got there. He just, you know, he wanted to be there, so there he was. And I think we'll be able to do that. And many of the things that Jesus showed us when he was walking on earth, I think we'll have those same powers, because there'll be no sin in us. We'll be completely cleansed by the blood of Christ in our resurrected bodies during the millennium. And that's the last two segments of my Reformed prophecy interpretation that I put up are about that. Well, I didn't put the last one up yet, but number 11 there. You can see that on my YouTube page. It's also posted on my website, where I speak of the millennium. I believe I do that for the last two broadcasts or the last two segments there. So if you have questions about the millennium, and is it amillennial or is it premillennial, the return of Christ, that is, that's where the term comes. When does Christ come back? Does he come back before the millennium or after it? Or does he never come back? Yeah. Well, the Catholic Church says he never comes back because, you know, they hold the place of Christ on the earth. They vicariously rule for him. You know, that's what Antichrist means. So, and it's funny that they made up this premillennial multiple choice 7-year tribulation deception for Protestants. Yeah, and they don't believe it themselves. That's genuine, isn't it? Okay, you're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and it's a Prophecy Reality Edition. I'll be back in a few minutes. Yeah, we just went on the break. They're just praying it won't be long. Okay, you want to call back in a few minutes? Yeah, do that.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition, and we are living in a time of strong delusion. There's no doubt about it. And no surprise, because the Scripture told us so. The Scripture says that there will be three spirits like frogs, and I call this the Three Frog Era. That's what I call it in my book. And hey, we got a phone call here. Let's see. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Nicholas Fireman Mike, Akron, Ohio.
What do you got for us, Mike?
My phone's breaking up a little bit again, but I'll try to, hopefully you can hear me.
Sounds good here.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, hear you good.
Okay. I would just like your comment on a friend of mine's take that, and he's a good Christian, that he believes that there's a gap in the last 7 years of the 70, the last 7 weeks of the 70 weeks.
Right.
That makes him a futurist.
Yes.
Okay. His main point is that if the 70 weeks were contiguous, that we would be in the millennium now. And obviously we are not. So I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that. I'll hang up and let you comment.
Okay, Fireman Mike, thank you for that.
You betcha.
Okay, well, you heard the question. And first of all, save a link to my book, which I put there in the chat room, and make sure that he gets a copy of that. if he reads that book, it'll open his eyes to at least a better interpretation of Daniel's 90 weeks. But first of all, there is nothing in the Daniel 90 weeks prophecy that connects it with the millennium. There's nothing explicit in the text there. It's all conjectured out of futurist doctrine. And that doctrine is based solely upon hypotheses and conjecture, meaning that it has no foundation in the scripture outside of conjecture. There's nothing explicit in the text to support the millennium having anything to do with the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy whatsoever. The Daniel 70 weeks prophecy is totally Jewish and having to do with the Jewish era up to the destruction of the temple and the city and the nation, which was in 70 AD. The 70 weeks, however, finished before that. And I lay all that out in that little book there for him, which I wrote for futurists. So I hope that he'll read it, he'll study the word and research it himself to make sure that he can verify what I'm saying there and come to the same conclusion that his eyes will be open. And so anyway, we can pray for him and anyone else who reads the truth about the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, that their eyes, if they're holding to futurism, that their eyes will be open to the fallacy there. And refer them to some of the other articles, the What Year Is It post I have on my website. All of these are based upon a contiguous timeline. Okay, the millennium, and what year is it? He might be interested in what year is it also, because it exposes the 7,000-year timeline that is laid out in the scripture. You know, 6,000 years, then the seventh millennia being the millennial reign of Christ. And it's not necessary for us to have a non-contiguous or juxtaposed 70th week of Daniel. Also, there's nothing in the text to support a juxtaposition because it makes the prophecy not true or failed, because the prophecy is only contiguous by the plain reading of the text. Even our antagonist, Chuck Missler, stated that. He said, you would think by the plain reading of the text that the 70 weeks are contiguous. And yes, that's exactly what I would think by the plain reading of the text, that they are contiguous, because the text does not say anything else. And if God said 70 weeks, he didn't mean 70 weeks gap, and then, you know, I mean 69 weeks, a gap, and then 70 weeks. Because what was the week for all of the futurists? Ask them this question. What was the actual week that followed the 69th week? Was it not the 70th week? What was it? Well, it was the 70th week. If you're counting the weeks contiguously, after 69 always comes 70. That week actually existed, and as a matter of fact, that was the Messiah week, not the Antichrist week. That was the week of Jesus. The 70th week was the most important. It was the singular week in the prophecy. And it was singular because it was 69 weeks unto Messiah. That means that Jesus was there and showed up for the 70th week. And the first half of the 70th week, he was on the ground with his disciples. The second half of the 70th week, he was to his disciples and the believers in Israel, as he is to the whole world now. But he was exclusive for that 3.5 years to Israel, because he said, what did he say? I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is backed up by history and the scripture itself, that the Gentiles did not receive the Holy Ghost until the 70 weeks were completed. That's why the Jewish believers that were there during the seven-year period after the death and resurrection of Christ for that last 3.5 years, they were so surprised when the 3.5, 4 years went by and the Gentiles started to receive the Holy Ghost. They were surprised. Why were they surprised? Because it was exclusive for 3.5 years to them. Because that was the true 70th week. I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the 70th week. It was the final week determined for Israel as a set-apart nation to God. They lost that position 3.5 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. 7 years after Jesus showed up at the end of the 69 week. They lost their position. 40 years later, the desolation came for the overspreading of abominations. And because the wrong sacrifice was a standing practice in the temple. Okay? The abomination that maketh desolate was standing in the holy place. It was a standing practice to continue the animal sacrifice for another 40 years. God endured that while the gospel remained available for national Israel. But it was finally done. For the spreading of abominations, the temple, the city, and the nation were desolated in 70 AD. That wasn't required to happen within the 70 weeks, and it didn't. But everything that was required to happen within the 70 weeks did happen and was completed by the 7 years before the end, or at the end of the 7 years after Jesus appeared for his Jordan River baptism. Then the gospel went to the Gentiles, and the Gentile believers started to receive the Holy Ghost. And I guess if the Jewish believers had known what I'm telling you right now, they would not have been surprised at all. They would have expected it. So a lot of that is exposed in that little book I wrote there, and so much more. It's an introduction to history and historicism too. And I wrote that book specifically for futurists, believers in futurism, because I used to be one. I used to believe in futurism. I read the late great Planet Earth, and I used to sing that song, "We'll All Be Ready" or whatever it was, way back when, you know, and all of the contemporary Christian music that, and some of that great music we had back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s of the last century. And like I said, I read the late great Planet Earth, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Yes, that Jesuit counter-reformation nonsense. 7 year tribulation, rapture deception. I believed it all, bought it hook, line, and sinker, because it was developed for me. You know, it was perfect. Here was this perfect thesis based on so much great conjecture, so much supporting conjecture right out of the scripture that we could just go, this, read this verse, that verse, and go show people that by conjecture, all that, how the scripture supported this thesis. Satan is very good at deception. Very good. So much so that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. Because sooner or later, you know, I mean, many of the elect go to the grave believing a lie, but their faith is stronger than even the lies they believe. Because God judges the thoughts and intents of their heart. Okay? So, sooner or later, all of the elect are going to wake up. You know, I just hope it isn't an abrupt awakening. You know, I hope it's like now. Dude says, "What's the book?" Oh, okay. Well, let me put it in the chat room again. It's called When the Third Temple's Built, and I'm going to give you a free copy PDF here in the chat room again. And there it is. Okay. And like I said, send it to everyone in your list. I'm giving it away free. I wrote it for people to read, not to make money on. You know, God feeds me. He takes care of me better than the little birdies out there. And I don't know if I'm clothed better than the flowers of the field, but because God said even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like some of those, so. But he does take care of me. But he says, please name the book. Well, the name of the book is When the Third Temple is Built. That's it. There's a PDF right there. That's the name of the book. Okay. While you're at it, go over to my website there and press the follow button. I don't know. Maybe you're already subscribed to my blog there. Okay, we got a few minutes. Any more comments, questions, or calls, I'd be glad to take them like right now. Don't wait 10 minutes and call in. Because I'm not going to answer the phone if I'm going into my outro music or I got 30 seconds left. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah. Okay, so what else do we got then? Any more questions I missed there? Matrix of Lies and Delete, Strong Delusion, yes, talking about the Three Frog Era. I cover that in that same book, the Three Frog Era. That's the era we're in. That's the era that leads up to the return of Christ. Even says it there at the release of the three frogs. It's to gather them together for the great day of God Almighty when Christ returns. And we've been in that Three Frog Era now 200 plus years. Yeah. Those three frogs were loosed at the French Revolution, I believe. That's when that vial was poured out. And part of that vial was those three frogs, those three spirits like frogs going throughout the earth. All right, he's got it. Yeah, enjoy. And like I said, you have the link. Send it to everyone in your email list. Post it on your Facebook page. You know, get it out there. Just say, hey, what do you think of this? You know, see what people think of it. You can say bad things about it if you want. I mean, there's nothing I can do. Yeah, I just wrote it. You get to read it and make up your mind and see if you want to continue to believe in the 7-year tribulation rapture deception. Only 115 pages, right? They're spaced in large type because anything up to 100 pages, the books cost the same amount. Yeah, if you have 80 pages or 100 pages, they charge you the same for each book. So it's always better to make your type bigger to fill out 100 pages. And I'm honestly saying that's what I did. Made the type a little bit bigger. Went a few cents over, but a few pennies is no big deal to keep the price of the book down for those people that buy it. But mostly I give it away. But actually, the PDF is much nicer because it's in color for the charts and the what year is it thing. Yeah. Yeah, reading is hard for this generation, I guess. Is going over some statistics. And it's just really disheartening as far as the reading skills of the public school students coming out of the Jesuit-controlled public education system these days. Of course, that's what they love. They love people to be dumb and to not read. And, you know, they've had their war in history, their war on Protestant thought, their war against liberty. You name it. I mean, because they want that totalitarian government that they're working so hard with their coadjutors out there, like the governor of California, who is Jesuit trained. There's no secret to that. You could go to Wikipedia and look it up yourself. Okay. and many others out there that they have no Jesuit training on their resume, but they are Jesuit trained and controlled. Like, you know, Barack Obama, you dig deep enough, you find out that he is a Jesuit trained shill or coadjutor. Yeah, no doubt about it. He was the great black hope. But I think he's just as white as I am, to tell you the truth. At least, because they say, oh, the first black president. Well, no, he was half white, man. Come on, he's probably more white than black, because his black half was probably already half white. So this whole sham about Black Lives Matter, it's just more Jesuit co-adjutor nonsense out there to bring about their end result and the Antichrist schemes for ruling the world. Yeah. Okay. See, what's on your YouTube? Something is. Okay, well, spread this broadcast around. Share it with everyone here that you can. And hopefully this broadcast will reach some people. Share the books and the posts and the links that I put in the chat room there. And see if we can reach more of the elect and bring them over and get the word out. I mean, we've only got 35 years left. And I have a lot of work to do and not enough time to do it before Christ returns. Just kidding. I have just enough time to accomplish everything that God wants me to do, even if I live until he returns, which I hope to do. If I had my druthers, if I couldn't live, then I would hope that perhaps I could be one of his martyrs, okay? And yeah, if that comes to America. And there may be some martyrs, but they probably have a better chance of being martyred in other parts of the country, like, you know, where the Jesuits have, where the Antichrist has total control. Because wherever it's totalitarian, you know that the Antichrist is in total control there, because that's what he loves. Those are his governments, and he worked very hard to keep the gospel out so that he could get his totalitarian control in. That's why he's trying so hard to destroy America, you know, and rid it of the gospel. But we have those two horns. You know, we have to work. That's our job as God's people, as his elect, is to keep those lamb-like principles as high as that dragon-speaking power in this great land that God has given us. That's our job. And we have to work very hard to do that. But God says we will do it. I haven't seen any indication that one horn ever gets higher than the other. So we're not going to overtake the evil, but the evil is not going to overtake us. Now, the evil may overtake some of us individually, because that does happen in America. I have seen it. Good friends end up in prison, even get killed or die in prison, because that's how they kill some of them. That happens in America. Could happen to any one of us. And it's likely to happen to a lot of us in the next 35 years. Especially, I mean, because look at all these people wearing masks. I like this one article I saw at LouRockwell.com. To citizens wearing medical masks, you are wacko conspiracy theorists. I like that. That made me laugh. To citizens wearing medical masks, you are wacko conspiracy theorists. Just turn it on them for once. You're wearing a mask because you're just a wacko conspiracy theorist. I love that. I'm going to use that. So next time someone looks at me like, why are you not wearing a mask? I'm going to say, you're the one who's a wacko conspiracy theorist. You're so wacko, you're even thinking that if I wear a mask, it's going to save you. Yeah. I mean, we put diapers on babies to save ourselves from something, but yeah, put a mask on your face to save people from what? Never mind. I digress. Okay, well, we're just about out of time here. I've got a little bit left, a minute. Well, I want to thank you all for showing up there in the chat room and enduring 2 hours of my practical monologue here. Spread it around. Come to my website and make sure you press the follow button there. And I pray that the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Keep your eye on the prize. Never depart from it. Yeah, that's my prayer for you. Keep your eye on the prize and never depart from it. That's it. I think that's all I got. Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's CrossTheBorder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt